Get the knives out. Dish is about to be served. Outrageous. Are you kidding? I've been inside only one woman after I was born. The Statue of Liberty.
Provocative.
If it's a pain in the ass, honey, you're not doing it right.
Pop culture.
Meanwhile, she's on the cover of Us Weekly.
Dating.
Boyfriends are like jobs, except he probably stopped sucking after a year.
Wicked.
What do I look for in a guy? My dick.
Smart. Sassy. Contemporary.
I mean, I can't. Porn Again, the podcast. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Here we are back, Porn Again, the podcast. I'm Josh Sabara. And I am glad that Luis Camacho, Carlton Wilborn, and Kevin Stay are joining me for another episode.
Wearing the same clothes.
We can't get
enough. Wearing the same thing. I know. Well, I knew we weren't going to be able to get it into an hour. I mean, I knew that wasn't happening. So just to backtrack a little bit for people who are just joining us, Luis emerged from the underground ballroom scene in New York and then sort of was plucked from that by Madonna for the Blonde Ambition tour and was responsible for a lot of her Vogue choreography as well and continues to choreograph. Kevin is a dancer and singer, and you can find his music at thatrogueromeo.com. And you were on the Blonde Ambition tour along with tours with, what was it, tours with? Like, what was your work with Beyonce and Cher and that group?
Oh, gosh, lots of award shows and commercials. And I mean, I've only ever been on tour with three different artists, Ricky Martin, Madonna, and Seiko Matsuda in Japan.
Got it.
But I usually, I'm not a big tour guy. I'm usually like commercials, movies, videos.
Ricky Martin
shows.
Would be a fun one to
I bet that would be fun.
But he wasn't out yet, so he wasn't nearly as fun. Now he's way more fun.
Got it. Yeah. That would be a lot of fun.
Now he's way, way more fun.
And Carlton, you came from a professional dance background and then joined in Chicago and then joined the Blonde Ambition Tour in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because when you see Truth or Dare, which is the documentary about the Blonde Ambition Tour, it feels like it was such a long period of time. But in reality, it was really only, what, about 4 or 5 months. Is that right?
Yeah, four.
But it seems like when you see the documentary, it seems like this almost years-long thing.
Yeah.
Well, our interactions become so comfortable because it was like trial by fire. You're around each other 24 hours a day, every single day.
Was there ever a point where you guys, during the tour, where you're like, I can't see these people one more day. Like, I need to be in my hotel room and not come out, or...
I never felt that.
But I felt like you guys felt that way with me.
No, never.
No, for real. At a certain point, I remember I got really... feeling some shade from you guys, and then I came out one time and got really drunk. And then I was like, they're done with me. I was done with myself at that point. I'm not surprised that you're all giving me shade at that point.
No, there was that. Was that during rehearsals?
No. Oh. This is like when we're actually on the road. I think we're in Chicago or Toronto or something.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I remember sitting one on some time, guy's lap and being really drunk.
Something like that.
I changed my answer.
During rehearsals.
I changed my answer.
Okay. This isn't a game show, Carlton.
No, but I do, because I remember being so over.
We're going to go to the center square with Carlton Wilbur.
Listen, I'm just saying.
It's like match game.
Whatever. No, Jose and Luis were a lot for me back then. Like, their way of, like, being fully self-expressed, I was so not geared up for. And I many times was like, keep them over there.
You're like Benjamin Button.
What?
I feel like you were born an adult. I feel like you probably came out as like a wise old person.
No, God, no.
Certainly wise. Even from the get-go.
But I hung out with older people.
The Benjamin Button of the Blonde Ambition.
That's like a tongue twister.
But you know, like Carlton and I avoided Carlton like the plague. I really did.
You did? I don't remember that.
Yeah, are you kidding? Well, yeah. I did. Whenever you were around, I really kind of stayed a little bit away.
Why?
Well, besides the pee jar under the stage.
Wait.
That was just more than I can handle.
Which
he accidentally kicked over during a quick
change.
Wait,
can somebody explain the pee jar?
Anyway,
Carlton kept a pee jar under the stage.
There's nowhere to go, so he couldn't run to the bathroom, so he would pee in a jar in the middle of the show. It's like, hold it, Carlton.
It was it that? I mean, I know you were 5 years older than the others.
Okay, wow. I don't even have to say it.
You know what really threw me off for the first of all, I couldn't... Luis and Jose's energy was really crazy anyways.
Right.
But Carlton's is like the unknown. He's like the wild card. I never knew if he's going to be like big over the top, dramatic, or going to be really intense and serious. Or he's going to be mean or happy. Or like, I had no idea.
Because everything was so dramatic. Gemini.
I had no idea. And like, and then when one time when you grabbed me and kissed me off stage right before we were starting a show, it really threw me. Because again, here I am not questioning if I'm gay or straight. I don't know. I kind of like guys. And then... in front of 10, 20,000 people, all of a sudden getting French kissed by
him. But wait,
he's shoving his tongue down my mouth.
We're going. We have two things to address here. One,
are you scrambling? Are you pulling?
No, we're going back.
He's like, wait. Grab.
We're going back to the pee jar for a minute. My father's a urologist. This is particularly important to me. Wow.
So
you could not hold it. And so it was under the stage. And would there be other people there and you just whip it out? And
basically had our dressing rooms are all under the stage.
Okay. That's
where you shared room. Well, our quick change rooms.
Our quick change rooms, correct.
So we shared a room. Yeah.
So you can't leave that proximity for 2.5 hours.
Right. So you're dancing around in a church set looking like a priest and then saying, hold on, I got a whiz. Running
somewhere, probably.
Kind of, yeah, pretty much.
And you're the only one who needed the pee jar.
Yes.
No, I was.
Yes, you were.
I was the only one that chose the pee jar. The rest of y'all were cramped and hurting.
Was it actually a mason jar?
Like it was glass? a mason jar.
Yeah, it was a mason jar.
He's very organic granola.
Did someone have the responsibility of Carlton's pee jar? Like, was that somebody's responsibility?
No. It was just sitting there.
Okay, so you would
for anyone.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's go back.
Did that suffice?
I'm accepting that answer. Now, what was the other thing that got me off track for a second?
The kissing.
So what was behind, when did that, at what point in the tour was that, and what was behind your decision to do that?
I don't remember. No, you haven't. Thank you so much for bringing that up. I don't remember exactly when that was in the tour. Do you?
It was early on.
It was?
Yeah, because I really was not out in any way.
I was challenging Kevin is what that was. Because I knew he was on the fence, and he was very protective about it, and I
didn't really share myself much anyways. And
so
And were you pretty sure that a kiss from you could get somebody right over that fence?
Oh, hell no. Absolutely not.
I think so.
I think he wanted to see how he was going to respond.
He did it with a lot of us.
Really?
He did it with me in Portofino.
What? Shut up.
He doesn't remember. We were walking from a restaurant going to...
These bitches are calling me out on
going
camera.
To a hotel.
For the first time.
Things literally are becoming very clear to me.
Yeah.
This ain't right.
Literally going back to our hotel in the Portofino and,
why are you fat? Because
I'm just attacking me in the bushes. And that's
when we say attacking you in the bushes, was just a kiss or was there more?
No, it was joking.
I was joking.
Yeah, I was joking
with both of them.
Was there ever any romances between any of you seven guys?
No.
I don't think that was grammatically correct, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
No.
Not that tour.
I think the excess of romance was the only instance really was that sort of moment between between Gabriel and Slam. That was sort of the only.
But you know what's interesting? Like here you are at that time, like young, good looking men in an environment where things you everything was accepted. Like you'd think that there would have been the temptation to sort of hook up and that kind of
thing. It's like family. It's like I think we became brothers so quick that it would seem weird, I think, between
us. But
especially
like
at the point where we're actually on tour, because we spent at least 2 or 3 months rehearsing for the tour. So if it was going to happen,
it would have happened
during rehearsals and stuff like that.
So. Yeah.
Because, even these like TV shows now, not mentioning names of shows, but, things that might be dance themed. you find all of these young, good looking, in shape people, and I've noticed that a lot of them do take advantage of that.
Yeah. But there's a larger pool to pull.
Just to let everyone know, we just ate.
There's a larger pool to pull from. They're a pretty tight little small group. It would be pretty obvious and like.
Well, Carlton was trying to do something.
Carlton was really trying.
I was not trying to do anything with any of them.
You know what?
He wasn't.
Tell it to Oprah because on this show. I'm not buying.
Oh, my goodness.
I love you, girl.
But anyway,
I'm so glad you're riding with me home.
Right? And Carlton drove.
So tell me, it sounds like I might be driving somebody home. You guys might not be speaking after this.
I love Kevin. I do. I love this man.
I love Carlton.
I love Kevin Stein.
So what were your favorite songs when you were performing? What were your favorite songs to perform to? Because I imagine after a while it's like, ugh, if I have to hear this again or if I have to hear that again, even though you have the energy of the crowd, I'm sure some nights it's kind of like, all right, you know, whatever. But what songs would you look forward to? And I know each of you were featured in different pieces, so I don't know if those were your favorites or...
Yeah. Well, I like to keep it together. I mean, just because the choreography was so fun, we all felt like a family. She was more relaxed. I think we were more relaxed. The bulk of the show was done. So mm-hmm. you knew your kind of energy level of what you had left to give.
I hated being inside that chair.
Really?
Oh my God, it was so uncomfortable.
Oh, I loved it. I had fun. I love props.
You mean those,
I love props.
Because there's a time in the piece where my body is sort of intertwined inside the chair.
The wooden chairs.
Yeah, and I'm moving and she's doing a sit down as if she's sitting on my lap.
Right, I remember that.
It was just like always like, oh my God, here comes that moment. It's so uncomfortable. Watch your face and make sure your face doesn't look like you hate it. Really.
And what was your favorite song? I mean, I know what my favorite piece in the whole show was
what?
Oh Father.
Nice. I loved doing that one.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to suggest what your answer should be, but that's your answer.
Thank you for feeding me. Thank you for feeding me that. No, but it actually was. That was one of my favorites. And what was the very last number in the jam?
Because it's such a theatrical dance.
Oh, no, that wasn't.
It was such like a theatrical.
Sorry. Other tour. Sorry.
Wow.
It was just.
Sorry.
Wow. I didn't wear jeans.
It was just like a theatrical moment. You know what I mean? That whole, like you get kind of caught up in that song, I think more than almost anywhere else in that.
Holiday. Net. That's what I'm thinking of. Polka Dots.
Oh.
I thought that one was really fun.
Yeah, because well, the song how can you not have fun with that?
Well, and we were like the loosest on stage in that, where we could
free,
like run
could
to
play.
The other side and you could run and you could just be.
There wasn't any structured choreography.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was really fun.
And I have a guess of what yours might be, but I'm going to let you answer because I kind of stole Carlton's thunder.
Well, I have a couple. I mean, of course, Vogue, of course.
Right.
Because I love the drama of coming up on that hydraulic lift.
And
my hat was...
That's an iconic visual in and of itself.
Totally.
No, but it was his hat. He had the fucking hat.
Did you get to keep any of those pieces?
I didn't.
No, Chris has it.
I know, in his like attic.
Didn't he just sell it or something?
Yeah. I have no idea, but... Yeah, when we walked into the room where those hats were sitting...
I
locked into that... Well, I didn't... I locked onto that thing. I was like, oh my God, please, please let me be that hat. Please. And they were like,
let me be that hat.
Yeah, I was like, I want to be that hat. And anyway, so the assistant turned around. He's like, okay, so this one's yours. I was like, oh, thank you so much.
So Vogue, and then?
Vogue, Like a Virgin, of course. And I really, really, really loved doing... Papa Don't Preach.
Oh, me too.
With the ballet sequence at the end.
Yeah.
I loved it. Is it wrong, though,
that I feel like, since we're talking about Like a Virgin, I mean, how old is Madonna now? 57?
I have no idea.
Something like that.
No idea.
Let's just say 57. I don't know. Somewhere in there. I kind of feel like it's time to retire that song. Like a virgin.
It's like
not
a virgin.
Even like, not even close to a virgin. Far from a virgin. I don't know. I just feel like there kind of comes a point where, you know, I don't know. Well, call me nuts.
It becomes more and more layers of irony.
Carlton sitting there wanting to yell at me right now. My neck is
out. And another favorite of mine, really quickly, was Cherish when we were the mermaids.
Oh.
No, well, how can you not like being a mermaid?
Keep me away from that number. I couldn't stand it.
Why could... No, so it's I your so favorite cheesy. And you... Why?
Well, because for us, it was so saccharine
sweet. It was
sweet.
Super and we, extra.
And we were all... She picked like the youngest ones to do it. So we were all like... Big like mer-babies. Yeah, we were like mer-babies.
It was actually that was really fun because she was right there like yes. rubbing our noses with her nose and playing with us and like kind of just really interacting. That yeah. was actually fun for that.
Got it. So,
God, right. Terrible number. Okay.
No, but that number is not that, I mean, that number is not in Truth or Dare. Yeah. So no. you either had to have seen the tour or have seen the HBO special right. to yeah. even yeah. be familiar with it. So, so now that you guys are getting back, have sort of been back in each other's lives in a bigger way because of Strike Oppose, the new film, that's doing the festival circuit right now. Do you have a stronger, do you think your friendship or relationship is stronger or can be stronger now than it was at that time? Or, I mean, how do you approach these friendships given the history and given how you've grown up? Like, where does that put these friendships?
I can definitely say that I consciously feel aware that I want to make sure that I keep in touch with them. And the other time, it wasn't so important if it happened or didn't happen. But, yeah, I mean, these guys have sparked a whole new awesome thing in me, and I don't want to lose that with them.
I'm very aware of how important they are to me. You make me cry. Because I really, I'm so grateful to have them in my life again, and there's no underestimating that value.
That's amazing. And how about you?
All I'm going to do is just echo what these two have said. I mean, you know, if I thought it was a gift the first time around, I mean, it's even more of a gift this time around. And
Barbara Walters.
I know. And what I'm grateful for is that, you know, today I'm present for that.
Speak.
Yeah, and that's sort of what I was getting at is that with the years behind you and the maturity now, like how do you, like it's different to approach these friendships and relationships that were formed at such impressionable times in your lives, right?
Well, exactly to what Lewis just said, I'm really grateful right now that like all my stuff that had me all hinged up and hiding my own stuff and whatever that kept me from engaging them and getting their own value is right. not there. So now I can just like let them in the way that my soul really wanted to, but I was too scared to. And so that feels amazing.
That's great. So how often do you guys speak to each other now? Like, are you guys in touch regularly?
We're talking
us
daily.
Three are talking,
talking daily. Fairly regularly.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And is that just daily. On a personal level or because there's work to be done?
A little column A, a little column B.
Well, I think it's more on a personal level. Yeah, but A and B.
Right. Don't ask. That's amazing.
Don't
Does
ask.
Does it come with an egg roll? Like, is it...
It's a quesadilla.
It's a side of soba noodles.
Now, so life after Blonde Ambition. Have any of you been in touch with Madonna lately at all? And have you seen her shows? Have you gone to her shows? Would you go to her shows? How would that feel to now be on the other side of it?
I have not spoken to her in a long time. I think the last time I saw her was either, what was the tour after Drowned World?
Reinvention.
The Reinvention, I think.
Oh, so right. Then I think it was Drowned World.
I saw Drowned World also.
And they escorted me backstage and I actually got to stand in an empty hallway and just wait for her and say hi to her before she went on stage, which was actually quite fortunate because she doesn't really do that.
Mm-hmm.
Her journey from her dressing room to the stage, she really just doesn't like to be kind of, not bothered, but, you know, interrupted mm-hmm. because she's getting into the zone. So the fact that they let me do that and just say hi and, you know, just
and what was she like towards you?
She was very nice and said, it's good to see you. It's good to see you too. You know, have a good show. I didn't want to keep her because I know what that moment was for her. So mm-hmm. I just wanted to say, hi, you look wonderful. Have a great show. I'll be out there. And she was like, thank you so much. I'll see you out there.
And how did she know that you were there?
I reached out to her people at the time.
Got it. And then for you, Drown World.
Well, I saw Drown World. I didn't see her there. I mean, I'm friends with Jamie King, who directs everything. Mm-hmm. But last time I saw her was in like 2002. Mm-hmm. I think we were out at dinner with Jamie and David LaChapelle and a bunch of other people. And she was having dinner at like a table next to us. So she came over and said hi and hung out and chatted. And so it's odd to have that experience of having this whole like legal suit and it's big drama between us. And then like standing there and just chatting and having a great night. So I don't think there's any hard feelings. And I certainly like enjoyed seeing her again.
And what is it like sitting and watching a concert of hers, seeing a new group of people up there who may or may not be forming the same? I mean, obviously it's not going to be documented for the rest of the world the way it was for you guys, but seeing that, you know, is it hard to see somebody move on and then see other people in those places?
Well, not exactly. I mean, to some degree, it's like, oh, I wish I was still there, but not really. No. but I also know a lot of them. So I just feel pride and mm-hmm. happiness for my friends that are there dancing with her. Like a lot of them are good friends of mine. So it's just, it's nice to see, you know, them having a good time. She's having a good time.
You know what's funny is that I get when her tour rolls around, there always seems to be a situation where somebody is inviting me to go to the concert with them.
Hmm.
And
lucky.
So
I know invited. They're like $500 tickets.
It's so weird. I have no idea why that happens, but so I've seen almost every tour after mine. Wow. And every time I go with, you know, somebody or a group of people. And literally right when the show starts, they're all like looking at me like, did you like that? What do you think about that? How's that? Did you like that vote?
But her fans.
And it's just like, oh my God, you guys, can I enjoy the show?
But the fans must recognize you guys. Like people who are true Madonna fans know who you are. So if they see you in that crowd, I imagine you get attention in those.
Yeah. We get attention,
Yeah,
for sure.
Now, Carlton, you haven't weighed in on any of this.
I've never gone to see her. I've never seen any of her shows.
Dun, dun, dun.
And is that for any, is that by design or you're just busy?
He just dances in her shows. He doesn't attend her shows.
I don't go see a lot of concerts like that. You know, I've never been the like one. I've never gone. I think the only like stadium show I've ever seen was Michael Jackson when we were in Mexico and we had invited because both tours were happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But I myself have never, ever paid money to go stand in a mesh of pee. Like, that's not an exciting time to me.
Well, and also, if you don't have a jar, like, how would you pee?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be enough to keep me.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Gosh. This is staying forever, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'd be enough to keep me out of the stadium. No, actually, on an episode coming up, we do discuss golden showers. Just so you know.
Clearly
just,
you're intrigued.
So you can come back.
Listen, you know I'm a sex columnist, so I get a lot of those letters.
Exactly.
So
I'll only stand in a mosh of people for Prince.
So what do you think about the Madonna who exists today in 2016? She's a mom now. 25 years have gone by. There's enough separation. What do you think of this woman, this person that you see now?
I hope she's happy. You know, I see her with this new family, these kids, and I'm like, I know how much she wanted it when we were with her and how much we were that for her.
Well, we know one of them's not happy.
Well, I mean, I just...
But all teenagers,
to see her with these
frank,
kids, I hope that she's getting the sort of family that she wants, although it comes with its own trials and tribulations for sure. There's light at the end of the tunnel. There's always the other side. And every teenager is going to go through this angsty period and rebel.
Well, that's like, what I say. You see all these things in the press, and I'm like, what 16-year-old at one time hasn't wished that they could go live with one parent over the other?
Yeah.
I
mean, it's going to happen.
I mean, that's
back
just
to my earlier point, but because it's happening to a celebrity, and we all say it's this grandstanding. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there is a different accountability to some degree because you're making yourself public. you know, when you make yourself public, you invite it in. It's sort of like, you know, I worked on a movie once with Michelle Pfeiffer, and she used to say, you know, I act for free, but I get $10 million a movie for the rest of this shit that I have to put up with. You know, she's like, I don't, the acting, I don't mind.
Yeah.
You know, so you make yourself a public person and you open yourself to, you know, it comes with the comments.
Yeah,
section.
But I don't think that my statement is even much in regards to how she's impacted by it. It just is a statement about our culture that's just, for me, it's just as
how we view celebrity and cult of personality.
Yeah, it's not about what she is left with as a result of people saying these things.
But celebrity, I mean, it's always, I mean, do you think that celebrity has changed over that, over this time? Or do you think that to some degree it's always been that way, just in a different form?
Absolutely, because as you brought up before, the social media platform allows one to have a voice.
Well, everyone has a voice.
Exactly. And so absolutely, it is showing up in a much higher way now.
And also now that the minutia of everyone's lives is available online, it's like you feel like you know them even like intimately and personally, even though you don't.
Yeah.
And then you make all these assumptions and dramatize everything over what you're assuming because you're seeing all these little tiny details that you wouldn't normally see from stars back in the day.
Well, and also people who are celebrities for the sake of being celebrities and not necessarily celebrities because of the talents that they have. I'm not mentioning names, but it starts with the letter Kardashian. I mean, right? you know, who am I not to judge, as I always say. Do you ever wish that you could get some of that time with Madonna back now? Like, as the people you have become, like, if you could have some...
Yes, I'd say yes to that as well.
100%.
Absolutely. Yes. 100%.
Yes. So do you, could you see that ever happening? Like, do you think that, you know, I don't know if she's seen Strike a Pose, the documentary, or if she plans to, I imagine
the
that she will.
The fact that the six of us have been brought together out of nowhere means anything is possible.
So she could be back in your lives at some point, or at least... It would be nice to sort of get to know each other again as the people you are now.
I think that would be amazing if we had that opportunity. Absolutely.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, totally.
And what do you, how do you feel that she'd see you differently?
Oh, God, you're all old.
it's not like the clock stopped for her either. I mean, time has marched on.
I feel like that'd be the first thing out of her mouth just because that's how she is. But
I think the first thing out of her mouth to me will be, hey, queen. That's what she says every time she
really
says, hey, queen. I'm all, hey, girl.
I'd have to try hard to not step back into my 20-year-old self and like close off and become that person again. Because I know how much I suddenly become that same dynamic with the boys. It's like I can find myself. It may take a minute for me to like find my footing and remember who I am now and be that.
I think you're right.
And what about you? Well, you were so in the moment then that you're probably
not that different. No, I was not in the moment then very much at all, actually.
Because you seemed like you were so aware of what was happening around you and how to manage it and control it.
Yeah, but that's a...
Managing and controlling.
Managing and controlling, yes. But aware and like present and available to the experience, I was not. I had a whole bunch of other things going on that was completely a cloud for me. So, yeah, I mean, now it would be amazing. What do I think she would say? Mandingo. Yes. That was my name.
Yeah. Now, did you, when you were approached to do this new documentary, did you have any reservations about revisiting this? Or revisiting that time in your life at this point? Or did you just sort of jump at it? And, I mean, was there a moment in your mind where, shouldn't I?
I didn't. I mean, you know, I got hit up on Facebook by the producer directors Ryer Swan and Esther Gold. Mm-hmm. And they were really, really efficient in explaining what angle they wanted to do about this. So, you know, easily from like a 15-minute conversation, I felt like, oh, okay, well, that's clean. Mm-hmm. And then 3 weeks later, they were here in the States. They flew in from Amsterdam. Met with them over coffee and they were just phenomenal and like amazing. I cannot say enough about those two people. They're phenomenal.
from start to finish.
That's what I've read about. They're phenomenal. That's what I've read about them in the
I mean, we've
the media
all worked with
done.
Lots of different people. There are lots of big levels, executives, shows, da-da-da-da. Truly, hands down, they are the most impeccable leaders I've ever worked with.
Full of integrity, managed all of us.
Solid.
Kept everything in line. Like
accountable to their word.
Absolutely.
Accountable to their timing. Yeah. They, and I felt this when we finished the screening in Berlin as well. After watching the movie, it was like, wow, like I got, these people really care about us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, that was actually my next question. Mm. Having been through the experience of Truth or Dare and having varying points of view about how it turned out, how did you insist on being... being more collaborative on this so that you really knew the spirit and the tone and how it was going to be presented?
I didn't pay as close attention to it. I kind of just had to trust their vision and what they've spoken to. And we could have easily gotten screwed over. I mean, easily, given, you know, all the sharing that we did. And my concern really was more about, like, because again, the lawsuit, I'm limited by what I can really say. Mm-hmm. I don't divulge personal details and that sort of stuff. I'm not about that. But I felt this was really important to do because the message was so powerful and it wasn't about, it's not as much about her as it is about us. Mm. And there was some reservation, certainly, in terms of fear of what am I getting myself into. But
well, especially having lived through it. Something like that before, it's like a little PTSD, I would think, to some degree. You know, like, oh, do I jump back into this totally. Pool?
I had to be a little aware of what I was saying. And I just, the only thing I made clear to them was about like my concerns about that. And like, if it did start heading anywhere that direction, I had to like ask for myself to edit myself and also for them to edit me a little bit if it started heading that direction. But they're just such amazing people. There was once we were in it, there was no question of their intentions and their message and their vision and who they were as people.
And Lewis, did you feel the same way?
I gave them a hard time in the beginning.
Really? Yeah.
I did.
Because what was your concern?
Well, I just didn't want to have another moment where I'm answering the question of, you know, is Madonna a bitch or not? Mm-hmm. You totally. Know, what is
What's she like?
I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Right.
And by the way, does anyone really know?
I mean, does anyone really know what she's like? You know what I mean? And what kind of question is that? I mean,
people
will ask me, like, if they know that you know a celebrity, they'll say, is she nice? Like, you work on one movie with them. I'm like, I don't know that one day she was in a good mood, but I don't know what kind of person that, you know what I mean? And she's so protective of her image and her persona that I don't know that anyone really knows what she's like. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure she morphs herself to probably fuck with people's perceptions of herself anyway.
Right.
So she's probably not the same at any given moment anyways. If there's anything that's consistent about her, it's her transitory nature.
I mean, I spent time, you know, in her apartment with her. I did a play for the New York Shakespeare Festival in New York. And stayed with her and like waking up and having coffee and, you know, chilling out the end of the day. And like, she, you know, the thing that's always been amazing to me about her is how really normal she is in her personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I remember the very first time when we were inside the Blonde Ambition audition process and she invited me up to the house and it was still like, not sure if I was going to be cast or whatever. And I got to her house and I was like, I mean, it was a lovely house, but I thought it would have been like freakery hanging from the ceiling. And it was like this lovely, classic, elegant.
Very classic.
I was like, wow. And she's very normal hanging out with. She's not extreme and all of that. So I feel like in that way, I do know a little bit about her.
Right. So back to your reservations. So your concern was retreading old turf and just talking about the same things over and over and over.
I ignored their first initial attempts to reach me.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was my partner who said, you really need to call Kevin. Kevin is trying to reach you and he wants to talk to you about this, you know, project. So I called Kevin and he was like, no, you need to meet with them. You know, just give them a call. Just trust me and just give them a call because it's not what you think.
Yeah.
So I called and even after that phone call, I was like, well, they're like, well, we're coming to Los Angeles. Can we at least meet you, take you out to dinner, coffee? I was like, you can take me out to dinner.
And you're like, coffee. Please.
Oh, no, you need to wine me and dine me. No. Anyway.
And then so what was it that they ultimately said to you that gave you a comfort level with?
I don't think it was one thing that they said. At the end of the dinner, I felt like we were kind of like friendly. Mm-hmm. And even at the end of the dinner, I was still like, oh, let me think about it. I'm so sorry. I can't give you a definitive answer right now. And so they were like, all right, well, we'll contact you. And I was like, mm-hmm, sure. And they contacted me. And I was like, oh, y'all really serious? Yeah. I was like, all right, come on, let's do this. And so, you know, but by the end of the dinner, you know, I was already enamored with them, mm-hmm. you know. And they were so, you know, genuine, and they laid it all out on the table. Like, this is what we're, you know, this is what we're doing. This is how we want to show you, I mean, you know, portray you. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't feel any BS from them, you know, which was really refreshing. And they didn't, it just didn't seem like they came from that kind of a place. And I felt very comfortable with them, so.
And I really wanted to have the opportunity to talk about this experience and for all of you to have that same experience. Because I know for me, after the lawsuit, I shut up about her completely. I didn't say boo. I didn't have really any interviews. When people brought it up, I always kind of shuffled it to the side. I even took it off my resume for years and years and years because I just didn't want anyone to think, oh, you're using her name, and oh, you're just standing on her shoulders to get your gigs. And I was so tired of hearing that. And I just was like, I'm done. Like, I don't want
that. I was going to ask you, was there ever a time in your lives that after that you wanted to disconnect yourself from the experience?
Oh,
that
totally.
You wanted to. So it sounds like you for sure.
Yeah.
But you sort of continued working together, so you weren't really able to disconnect.
Yeah, but then I made the disconnect after the second time.
Got it. Yeah. And you as well, obviously.
Well, me and Jose were working with her for a while after, and, you know, me and Jose did a record. She did background vocals for us, so, you know, we shot this, like, Rock the Vote video with her.
Right,
and so we
right,
were doing
right.
all this other stuff with her, and so...
But was there ever a moment where... even after that, where you said, you know what, I need to separate myself from.
Yeah, there came a point where it was, you know, there goes the Madonna dancers. Mm-hmm. And after a while, it's like, okay. I can't get a gig, you know.
Yeah, where it's your identity is wrapped up in someone else's.
Yeah. I mean, I went to a Janet Jackson, you know, audition, and it was like, oh, you're that Madonna dancer, right? And I was like, and literally, I was like, oh, I just lost this gig.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I was like, okay,
so identifiable. It becomes a thing. If you're so identifiable, you're next to the star. It's like, oh, there's the star and Madonna's dancer.
Yeah.
It's
like, oh, look, you're Madonna's dancer. And I was like, yeah. They were like, oh.
I think that's why I changed hairstyles.
Yeah, they pushed the headshot and, you know, the resume to the side.
My pull away was different than that when it eventually happened. It was less because I was feeling it come at other people. I was really afraid that I had lost sense of my own power. Mm. And that I, as long as I stayed associated to her, it would actually become a crutch for me. Mm. And that would be really, really dangerous.
So you sort of had to give yourself the freedom.
I had to.
Yeah. Well, so now that unscripted TV has sort of become, is so ubiquitous, it's like everything is a reality show. Do you think if that tour in Truth or Dare happened today, that somebody would have, there would have been a series, you know, following you guys after the movie? And if there had been, would you have pursued it? Or
you mean if the tour, if
at that time,
if it happened now, I see.
You know that there would have been a production company saying, we want to hire all seven of you and do a show of life after, you know, and basically probably Strike a Pose would have, it's sort of probably what Strike a Pose would have been, but it would have been more of a reality.
Well, seeing what...
You're smiling, so I don't know.
It's seeing what TV is, right? And the range of circus inside of it. And from how we all were, I could imagine they could see some of that as like colorful content for sure.
So would you have done that?
Well, I think if opportunities had been presented to us, absolutely, we would have done it back then, because I think part of what kept us apart or kind of had us go our separate ways was that there were no unifying anything to keep us together or to keep us in communication or to even, there was nothing presented to us as a whole or anything. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
the next thing we had after the tour together was the MTV Music Awards. So,
yeah.
And what, in terms of Gabriel, who passed away in 1995, is that right?
Yeah.
How do you feel about Strike a Pose as sort of a celebration of him? Like, do you think he'd be proud of it? Do you think, I mean, I know his mother participates in the movie, if I'm correct. So yeah.
How
do you
see? And she's going to Tribeca, too.
That's great.
That's awesome. Right?
I haven't seen her since 94.
Yeah, neither have I.
So do you see the movie in some way as a testament to him?
Oh, absolutely. It's so joyful to see him come alive again on screen and see that smile and that energy that he has. I mean,
it's definitely a love letter.
Oh my God.
This movie in part is really a love letter to him.
Yeah.
And it's really, really sweet to see. I mean, there is one moment in that film with him, with his mother that, I mean, I couldn't stop crying. It was just so touching. And
we miss him.
Yeah.
We really do.
And were you guys close? Were all of you close to him?
I don't think there was anybody that wasn't close to Gabriel. He was just a really clean, sweet spirit.
Yeah.
Like he just was consistently that. There was no nothing on him. He was just a really sweet guy. I don't think anybody had any rub about Gabriel at all.
Yeah. That's great that this movie is sort of an opportunity, to have that for him,
He was the anointed, the anointed one. He was the good child. Wow. He was the good child, right?
Yeah, he was the angel. He was the angel.
He was the anointed one.
He was like a cherub.
Yeah.
Because just his energy, his peacefulness.
Yeah. I mean, me and Jose came from our, snappy, neck twisty, backgrounds. And Kevin and Oliver and, Carlton came from their backgrounds and, the Belgian sensation came from where he was coming from, but Oliver was this neutral
Gabriel.
Gabriel was this neutral ball of light. I never ever saw him upset.
Absolutely true.
Ever angry. I mean, his smile lit up rooms. I mean, it was fascinating.
And was there ever was there ever any jealousy over the attention that one might be getting over the other? Like I remember Slam was on Joan Rivers' talk show. Promoting the tour, were publicity opportunities sort of divvied up, or did you feel that anybody was getting more attention, or no?
No, I don't think we didn't have any PR or anything, so it wasn't like we were being handed opportunities or handed out at all.
We did that one thing with MTV when we were here in Los Angeles. Backstage it was all of us.
Yeah,
but I never felt that way about any missed opportunities, or they were getting more attention, or we were getting more attention. I never felt that.
I was upset that you guys went to Chanel without me.
Okay, well, there was that.
And I was glad to be far away from you.
See, one person's trash is another's treasure.
Absolutely.
Right? So I want to talk about what you guys are all doing now, because you've all been successful in your own right. You have this bond that will forever be there, but life goes on and you have your own personalities and your own things that you're doing. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that. So if you could talk about your music and some of the projects you're doing now.
Sure. I have an album.
Music, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm like a serious...
If you could talk about Kevin's music.
I'm going to.
He's here anyway, actually.
Having nothing to do with my history of this guy, or that I love him. I am a fan of his work as an artist, as that Rogue Romeo. I've seen his performances. I've seen the videos that he does, the visual content. He's fucking amazing. You're amazing.
And can people get the music on iTunes? Where's the best place to get it?
iTunes, Amazon, anywhere. Yeah, it's all over the place. Yeah. That Rogue Romeo. Yeah.
And they can visit that rogueromeo.com.
Yeah. I'm a little on hiatus working on the next stuff, but you can get the album Machine and Magic that I released, also Rebuilt.
This is an example of somebody that just truly, if they had the resources, their shows would look as magnificent as hers.
Okay, well then then we need to make that happen.
Yeah, seriously.
We need to figure out how to make that happen.
I have a lot of bang for my buck.
Yeah. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear.
And he bangs for a buck.
For a buck. I think you could do better than a dollar.
A buck fitty.
About here, too.
A buck fitty.
Somehow I think you could get more. But, you know, what do I know about hookers? Yeah. Read my book.
Right, read my book.
And Porn Lewis, what about you? So you're still doing some choreography.
I still do some choreography. Right now I'm focused on writing this book.
Mm-hmm. What kind of book?
It's a memoir.
Very nice. And are you finding it's hard, right?
It is hard.
It's the hardest thing I ever did.
Yeah, I'm writing with somebody. So, you know, every time we get together, we're like, wait, where did we leave off?
Mm-hmm. Are you writing it in chronological order?
Yes. We started, it's weird. We started, we didn't start in chronicle order in the beginning, but now we were like, wait a minute, we need to reassess this. So yes, we're going from
see, I
the
couldn't
beginning
do
to
that.
The,
I had to, that there were things that were too hard for me. And I would say to my editor, you know what? I have to wait on this. Like this, I need another. And there were a few things that the recency was there, and I needed a little more distance to see it. I mean, obviously, no memoir is totally objective,
right.
But I needed a little more distance to really know how I felt about those things. So there were certain things where it helped me to write it out of order, but it's hard, right? It's really hard to like go deep enough, and you know, you've got to be really honest because people now you can't write a memoir that. You know, it's fluffy. Like, you got to give it to people.
Oh, yeah.
Expect, you know, the down and dirty.
Yeah.
So, do you have a timeline on that? Or
I don't have a timeline. I mean, I'd like to get it out as soon as possible, but I don't want to, I'm not trying to rush anything, so.
How long have you been on it?
I've only been on it for, like, 2-3 months. So
okay.
It's not
so you'll keep
fresh.
Us posted
it's
and you'll
baby.
Come back and talk about it when it's.
Absolutely. Ready. Whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. And Carlton, so your life coaching.
That's one of the areas, yeah. It's funny, the whole life coaching thing is literally a realm that I got a sense of when I was like 8 or 9 years old. I remember, I share with people being this little pint-sized person, and I don't really know what words I had back then, but I knew I was supposed to be speaking to thousands of people about like getting them
like
in their
I
power
said,
or
Benjamin
something.
Button.
Yeah, right.
I love how you tried to tell me that was not a good analogy, but
it's true. But so yeah.
You were a 9-year-old motivational speaker.
Yeah. So dance formation is the current main expression of the coaching work that I do. I've been coaching now for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Workbook format from my book, I Am Empowered. Igniting Freedom, Courage, and Healing. That's that lovely blue
and
piece.
You look really hot on the cover.
Thanks. Yeah.
He always looks really hot.
So I was doing my work from that, and then I rebranded in 13, and I've created the first ever movement-based through dance life coaching business.
Well, I saw some video footage of some of the work that you do, and people seem extremely moved and, like, emotional.
Well, you know, I think inside of the coaching realm, or just inside of the knowledge, the holding knowledge realm, what is so and what works now is when one is interactive with the process, things land faster and more solid. So I just sort of got aware of that. I really started to look at how much dance it really helped and served every facet of my life. So there's that. And then, you know, I'm building out myself and my brand as a writer and producer. And I've got a really interesting, so I'm starring in a new film that's on Lifetime called Troubled Child.
Okay.
It also did a really strong festival circuit. Really interesting story there. The director, Jolene Adams, and I had a really great vibe together, wanted to do something else. So she and I have co-developed another piece, have a team involved with that. And so
you're writing together.
It's written. So written. We're basically fine-tuning, dotting I's, crossing T's on the pilot episode.
So it's a series.
It's a scripted series based loosely on my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when do you go out with it? When will you start shopping that?
Summer. Yeah.
Good. Is it something you see on cable or something you see on network?
It will be. I'm probably on cable.
Cable.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know why I'm guessing your life would need to be on cable.
Well, if
I'm guessing premium cable.
Premium cable.
There you go. So, yeah, so there's my coaching realm, and then there's the creative realm, you know. And
what are you doing there? What's, aside from the dancing, what are you, the dance
formation? Am I acting?
Like what, the acting, and then are you still dancing yourself or no?
No, I mean, I haven't been. I mean, I did a gig in 14, actually. Kiss Me Kate with Wayne Brady here in L.A. at the Pasadena Playhouse.
He's so talented.
He was really great in that. It was really fun. And it was a fun show to do because it was the first ever chocolate version of that traditional musical. And it,
I was going to say, when you said that, I was going to say, it sounds a little darker than I remember Kiss Me.
It was fantastic. But you know, who's about to freaking blow the world away was one of my friends that I gained from that show, Merle Dandridge. She was Kate.
Okay.
Merle Dandridge is starring in the new Oprah Winfrey show called, Green Zone something. It's a brand new show. Oprah Winfrey's in it. And Merle is the star of the show. Wow.
It's a TV show? Or
it's a TV series.
Stage. Oh,
I think it's called Greenfield.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Hmm. She's amazing. So anyway, so I did some dancing there. That was 8 shows a week, you know, so that was only 2 years ago. And but other than that, my movement stuff is pretty much inside my coaching program. I teach. I was on faculty here at AMDA, which is the American Musical Dramatic Academy. I was also on staff at Idlewild Arts, which is a lovely arts organization up in the mountains. So I disperse my dance activity in those ways.
Do you get, in terms of the satisfaction you get from performing versus helping people feel confident enough to maybe perform themselves or do whatever it is that they, you know, perform in their lives, mm-hmm. is there one that's more satisfying to you than the other?
I mean, there's nothing like watching somebody find themselves.
Right.
I mean, you can't.
I love how selfless you are.
What do you mean?
Because you're so about, like, other people and empowering other people. Mm. And not about what you would be, you know, I'd be more about, well, yeah, I love being in front of that. Right. I love doing that.
But you get joy and satisfaction. Like, there's a selfish side of it, not in a
bad
way.
But you seem so much more fulfilled by doing for others. Well, that's... You're such a... you're a much nicer person than I.
Look Carlton's what I've done like, for you.
Anyway, enough of Carlton. Move on to somebody else.
So do you feel that... So Strike a Pose, do you feel that it succeeds as a really organic documentary? Because Truth or Dare did seem very contrived in certain places. Like, it, you know, you'd watch parts of it and you seem... You know, Madonna cleaning up her hotel room. I can't imagine that actually happened.
No, she did.
She did. Really?
She does of course that, she did. Yeah. All of that was, did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
pick
does.
Up a cup and move it to the side.
But she's in full makeup.
With the cart.
And yeah, then because going you just came back from the show.
That was after the show.
That's not
that. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and buy that from you. But I felt that there were...
Now, me cleaning up is a whole other story. That's totally unbelievable.
I think there were certain parts of it that seemed a little stagey. Do you feel that Strike a Pose is a more authentic... You know, true documentary.
Definitely.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
It's right from the heart. There's nothing fake. There's nothing.
No, because there was
forced.
Definitely some artifice in Truth or
well,
Dare.
I mean, listen, there's no. Again, I mean, as all documentaries, really solid that are subject based, right?
Right.
They are there to support the human condition. That's what most documentaries are there to do, and mm-hmm. this one absolutely. When I said that we walked away from it and I felt like, wow, these people really care about us. Mm-hmm. That's what's different between Strike a Pose and Truth or Dare. But they
well,
were...
Well, and I think an audience will respond to that. I think people know that. I think
sure.
I think a viewer knows how a filmmaker feels about the subject. I mean, there's no mm-hmm. such thing as a totally, you know, documentaries are skewed in one way or another.
And, you know, for what's also clear... While Truth or Dare was a documentary, it was also designed as an entertainment piece.
Right.
Right.
Documentary.
Right. With concert film in addition. Right.
Of course. So it's organically built to shape-shift a little bit differently than a traditional, you know, long-form documentary, the way that right. we know them. So
Well, everyone should look out for Strike a Pose, which is going to be in Tribeca. And hopefully people will be able to see it very soon.
It's going to be in Tribeca. It's going to be at Hot Docs in Toronto, Canada, the end of April.
It is getting around.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I know the word on it is very strong. So that must make you guys feel good. So let's just tell everyone where they can find you one more time. So Carlton, you're on Twitter at Carlton Wilborn.
Yes.
And Kevin, you're at Kevin's Day on every social media platform.
Everywhere. Even ones I don't even can't remember the names of. Hello. Literally, I have no idea.
And Lewis. Oh,
that was too easy.
You're at one.
One Lewis Extrava.
Extrava. And I want to thank you guys so much for being here.
Thank
I could literally sit here for four more hours and talk to you guys. So I'm sort of upset that this is ending, but hopefully
we'll continue. It was a fast tour. I was back again.
Well, you don't have to. You have a home here. Whenever any of you want to come or talk shit or say anything,
come.
Anyway,
we would love to see what you think of the film.
I'll be the first one in line. I'll be the first one. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for listening. The No Holds Barred conversation continues 24/7 on Facebook at Josh Sabara Author and Twitter and Instagram at Josh Sabara. And then buckle your seatbelts for some titillating real talk. Porn Again, a memoir by Josh Sabara, is available now as a trade paperback, ebook, and audiobook.